Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you all tonight. Balance is an important part of this practice. I think we don't reflect on very much. And if our life is our practice and our practice is our life, we get into it pretty early, maybe the age of one or two, in our lifestyle, learning how to walk and balance ourselves that way. And in the practice, also early in the practice, on our zafu, during our initial instruction, we sway back and forth and come to an upright position, centered in the Earth's gravity. And we sway front and back, centered, upright. So this has some meaning in terms of deeper teachings, because the balance is part of a long line of tradition and practice, I think, which might be going to the term dozo, the Japanese term of please go ahead, take it. And I think balance comes into that too, not balance of thinking how I'm going to balance this or what am I going to do, but balance from a body perspective, like a cat. Before a cat makes a pounce, it gets balanced and then pounces. And in our practice, moving or even doing something, study calligraphy with Koban, and he didn't teach us anything. He manifested everything. And he did so in a very balanced manner without announcing it. And right through the 3 or 4 hour session of teaching, he was balanced when he sat, he was balanced when he made his ink, as we all did, and balanced as he demonstrated the calligraphy. One hand in the air with the brush, other hand down on the rice paper, and brain, hand, brush, integrated one, no thinking, just paint. Those up, just take it. But there's a moment in there when there's a balancing. He would be a split second moment when he would balance. And so too, when we walk in him, we balance 1 foot, 2 foot, 1 breath, 1 foot. And it's part of the practice. That it isn't part of a thinking mechanism so much as a doing and a being mechanism. And we don't reflect on it very much because it probably isn't necessary until it is. Like, it's like learning how to ride a bicycle, you know, you ride a bicycle as a young person and you get on the bike and try it a few feet and you fall over. Try it again, you fall over. No one can tell us how to ride a bicycle, but we ride the bicycle in a balanced fashion, integrating ourselves with the bike, and we take off and have a good time. So, in this dozo practice, we balance and just take it, and it works itself into the middle way, the middle path, that we come across instances in our practice, our life, and we step back a moment and take in an awareness of the situation, and then take it. It's a split second, but we take it. We don't take that balancing moment, not a thinking moment, but a being balancing, an awareness moment. We can make we can have difficulties. Take the precepts, balancing those, breaking and non-breaking. We take the precepts, we take them into our practice in our way, and make the precepts ours and how we apply it to our needs, our strengths and our weaknesses. And there's balance in that too. We don't go to extremes, we go to balance. It's like a racer coming down a hill in a ski race. The middle way is broad between the posts and the wires. And that person is judging where the moguls are, how they're going to get around it, their strengths and weaknesses in the moment without thinking, just doing it. But there's a balance in there. There's a balance in all of that. I think the balance is helped in our practice. We get grounded in the practice. And we don't think about it so much. It's like a fish doesn't think they're in water either. That's water. That's all it is. It's just water, you know. And we don't think about air. Maybe we don't think about balancing. You know, we need to. We just balance and do it. I thought it'd be maybe worthwhile to mention that because it ties into a lot of the teachings of non-teaching. It's just the balancing and do it. There it is. Here it is. Do it. Whatever it is. Calligraphy, bike riding, precepts, life, relationships. We just do it. Balance and do it. I think the dozo is a Japanese word, it's a polite word, lovely word, and it means please go ahead, or please take it. And you might say that in a Japanese restaurant when the family comes in with parents and say two or three kids, you'll be taken to the table, and the waiter might say, dozo, please take it. And the parents will arrange where the kids should be and they should be, and they'll integrate with the table, just like that. They and the table are one for that meal. You know, the precepts, they're very straightforward. How they're applied is maybe not so straightforward. And the balancing helps there too. To balance and intuit our way through that. What is the best way forward in keeping the precepts or any of our activity, you know, watching our speech and our actions, thoughts and feelings, balancing those in our daily practice. I guess it's personal for me. I've had some incidences where I didn't take that moment to balance, and I had some reflection on that recently. So I'd just like to offer that. Thank you.
Could you speak to the balance between service and practice? Practice in the traditional sense, I know service can be considered practice also, but
can you
they
define
seem
service?
Different.
What do you mean by service?
Service to the Sangha, service to the community.
Yeah. Well, service to the Sangha is very helpful. Is it a practice effort? It's a gray area. Bodhidharma was asked that by the emperor, and Bodhisattva said, no merit. And the emperor was stunned. He said, I build stupas, and I do this, and I do that. No merit. But working for the Sangha, effort in the Sangha is a different area, so I don't know when.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, I would lean on the side that it was merit-based.
Well, just benefit to oneself in terms of meditating. You know, it's a practice, but it's not meditative practice. It would be...
Well, there's not a boundary between the cushion in your life, you know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of Kinhin. People think that's exercise. It's not. It's a practice in itself. You flow from the zafu to walking and back. And you flow from this to your life and back. So servicing your life, how you treat other people, is very much practice.
So
life is a practice.
How do you know when the balance is right for you?
You're talking about a volunteer time in the Sangha?
Yeah, or you're saying in your life doing service to others, serving others in your life.
Well, balancing in life, it's not so easy. It's not so easy at all.
No.
People work 60, 70 hours a week around here, and I've had family members that get into that too. And they'll say, well, I have a goal. I have a week or two of this. And they can't be talked out of it because they have that goal and they'll spend it on that effort. And maybe they're right. They have to do that, get it over with, and they go back to a normal life. And that's their way of balancing. So it's very difficult for anybody to tell someone else how to balance. Everybody has to learn how to ride that bicycle on their own. But there's certain basics that we know from science, you know, health science, that we need sleep and nutrition, and we can't work these crazy hours. You know, we have some guidelines here to go by.
I see. Well, this isn't a job. This isn't a Silicon Valley job. I'm retired.
I think service to the Sangha, as I say, I think that I would lean to that. That's a merit-based effort. That's a merit-based effort. It's a touchy subject because I spent some time down at Tassajara recently on a weekend and sold for quite a while up in the Zen Center and got to know some of the priests up there. And they have a whole cadre of people that are paid, full-time paid with benefits, to manage their properties. So, it's a job.
Yes.
And there are people that do that work as a job. It's still an effort in the monastic system, an effort for that Sangha. So you can't say it's separate from that effort. It benefits that effort. These are things that are difficult to come up with an answer, right or wrong, black or white. I think if you ask one of those people, I say, no, I work, I take this relatively low salary so I can be in the Sangha. Otherwise I'd be out making a much larger salary, but I give that up.
True. Kirby?
Yes.
So it's just something personal that you have to answer for yourself.
Exactly, exactly. You've got to balance your own life in your own way. And some people can't do it. They just can't do it, whether it's an addiction for food or drugs or whatever it is. They have a very hard time getting to a balanced life, and I can understand that, because the addiction is what it is, and it's not a rational thing you walk away from. But basically, we have to do that balancing ourselves. We can talk to other people, but in the final analysis, they won't be able to make that decision.
Yeah, there's always lots of choices to make.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Father.
Something came to my mind when you started speaking, so I'm going to shed light on it, but it might not even be the correct perspective. When you started talking about balance, well, the first image that comes to mind is some sort of a balancing on a scale, because balance is defined in a different, I guess, way depending on every single situation. So what I was thinking was that there's two sides, there has to be two sides before you even want to create a balance. So for example, when we're talking about service to the Sangha, there's a person who's servicing and there is a Sangha. This balance maybe doesn't have to be necessarily figured out by a single person alone. Our job is to maybe define the groups and communities that we are part of, because I think, for example, for me being part of a Sangha, it's my job to figure out how to balance that job for other people who are servicing the Sangha. So it is all of our jobs to make sure there is a balance happening, just like with our biology or with
yes.
the solar system. The sun is not controlling it all, but they're all controlling it
yes.
together, like
yeah.
relativity in physics
yes.
in a sense.
Yes.
So I think, especially when it comes down to a Sangha or a practice that we're all there to figure out how to bring balance for each other, that's what we're talking about here. I think it is all of our jobs, in a sense, to make sure that there is that balance. And I'm not saying I'm doing this 100%
yes.
myself, I have a long
yeah.
way to go.
Yes.
But just being conscious of the fact that even if it can take one step and take it away from someone, that could
yeah.
create some sort of a balance.
Yeah.
So maybe there's also a collective effort
yes.
for creating balance that
yes.
we can think about.
Yes, it's a very good point. I agree with you fully. Yeah, I agree with you fully. Not separation.
Yeah. Well, personally, really, thank you, Wendy.
I appreciate all your
I wouldn't
support.
Have been here if it wasn't because of the people who kept the Sangha going, and I feel very responsible for all work. So
yes.
I hope you guys communicate with us more what we can do.
Well, we appreciate all your offers
thank
to
you.
Help.
Of course.
Really appreciate it.
Of course.
Balance?
Haste. Haste. Not taking that step back. Sensing.
Mm-hmm.
And getting in my head.
Oh.
Yes. And started thinking. But
thinking,
you can't
thinking,
think.
Thinking.
The cat doesn't think. Thank you for the question.
I was just thinking how reckless I get. And as soon as I get reckless, I'm way off balance. It's just way too much.
Yeah.
And speed has something to do with that, too.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. It's a never-ending situation where we're changing, our lives are changing, the environment's changing, and we're adapting, you know, moment by moment. And it's easy to forget that. And then when we have something go wrong, we don't really recognize that. We've got to make some bigger balances now.
In the sutra we just chanted, the Heart Sutra, right, the compassion and light. How are they coming about creating or maintaining that balance?
In the Heart Sutra?
Yeah.
Oh, the Heart Sutra is such a beautiful chant. The Heart Sutra is the essence of the practice. It's a voice from the bright shore, giving us guidance moving forward. And it's profound. It's totally profound. And in Koban Sangha, that's what we practiced every day. We chanted that every day without fail. And nothing else that I recall. So it's very important. And it's something that, it's like a koan. You have to let it come in. It's not something you're going to try to figure out and things like that. It's not that way. You have to let it come to you and crack you open a bit. But it's good to keep reading that, chanting that, to get the body into that practice, the reverberations in our bodies. It's a body practice more than a mental practice. Did I answer the question?
Yes. Thank you.
Miss Wendy.
Speaking of body practice, I was thinking during my meditation about the young boys coming out of the cave.
Yeah.
After 10 days,
yeah,
or 18 days, some of them,
yeah,
of learning meditation,
yes,
from this,
yeah,
coach,
yeah,
who
the monk.
10 years in the monastery.
Yeah, he's a monk. Yeah,
yes,
amazing.
Yes.
And he calmed them down.
Yes.
Amazing.
It was really amazing. A miracle.
Isn't that
it
something?
Was really
unreal.
I hadn't heard that part of the story.
Me neither.
Thank you for sharing.
For sharing.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were sitting in the cave the whole time.
Yeah.
In water?
Above
the little boards.
Yeah, but they couldn't escape.
That's why they got Jean out without being in a panic.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the best thing that happened.
Yeah. You could see their faces were really calm.
Yes.
There's only one that had stress and he was acting a little bit strange, but the other ones were really clear.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You saw some of their faces?
Yeah, one of the newspaper articles had photos of the individual faces.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
The young boys. No, I don't think all of them, but the ones that had come out to that point, they photographed them. It's strange, the boys weren't, you know, really exuberant. They had kind of bodhisattva smiles, calm and grounded.
Balanced.
Absolutely balanced.
They were weak.
Life and death, they were right there.
There was a research, I was actually working on it today, and it was talking about the details of the alpha waves of the brain and how, well, there's all these different frequencies that we can vibrate on in the brain because it's all electrical signals. And when it's between 6 to 8, I think, hertz, it is completely in sync with the rest of the ecosystem. So Earth and all these living beings are also vibrating on those waves when everything is okay. And meditation, there was a research that was showing that with meditation, when they did the fMRIs it brings the alpha waves in sync with the rest of the ecosystem. And that's one of the reasons why we are so calm when we're meditating, where people who are sitting for a long time happen to have a better, is calmer reaction or maintain that balance.
Yes.
So when you said their faces were so calm,
yeah,
right away I was thinking about those waves that I was looking at today and all those images.
Yeah.
It's just scientific facts.
Yeah. Yes, it's pretty well researched. The neuroscience on that is pretty established. Theta waves and whatnot.
Yeah. But that part of the story, they didn't talk about it anywhere. I heard it here. Mm-hmm. Which is the best part.
What's my source? I something I read online. I couldn't see what Washington Post, I don't know. But other people validated it, so
yeah.
It's not fake news.
It's only the only real part.
Any announcements?
Yeah. Well, the big announcement will be following meditation that we have a business meeting, and our treasurer has gone out of her way to provide some ample facts that we need to know. We're going to be having a discussion about our new financial reality here in the Friends House. So for those, we really encourage you to stay around for what will be a riveting conversation.
Riveting but friendly.
Absolutely. In the Friends House, what else?
Yes, absolutely.
And Saturday we will be here for a full day, yeah, with the Dokusan in the morning and Harmony Hall. So if anyone would like to help set up, I'll be here at 8:30. I believe you.
I'll be sitting with you guys, but that is the
shame. Yeah, we're having a nature session this week, Thursday through Sunday. You're going to be there.
Yeah.
Which is why I won't be here. But Eric and Doug are leading, I guess it's two full days, starting Thursday night, Friday to Saturday, and full into the Sunday program. And if anybody would like to come up for that, you're all invited and welcome, and tell your friends and so on. So, I'm sorry I'll be missing here, but in any case, we'll be sitting with you.
Thank you. Should we have a 1 minute sit?